Recorded in Seattle, Washington. It's an earful in the Emerald City.
Hold on to your butt.
Where local and national gossip is twisted with comedy. Starring Shoddy and Slim. Two typical guys who hold nothing back.
What the hell is so great about that?
To make your jaw sore.
Oh, that's nasty.
Get your mind out of the gutter and give it up for Shoddy and Slim.
Welcome to the program, everyone. Episode number 14, An Earful in the Mother Effin' Emerald City. I am Shoddy, and alongside me is my partner in crime, Slim. Not Shady, not Jesus, just plain old Slim. And we do that because we don't want to get hit with a copyright lawsuit. Today on the show, we're going to talk about how much we wanted to slit our wrists after the Seattle Seahawks game. How Big Bertha is making this city, it could possibly make the city go bankrupt, and how it's hurting the city. The proposed strip club tax and how that's going to go towards rape kits, and much more. But first, let's start with our own weekend rewind. You like that sound effect, Slim?
Boom. Nailed it. I like it, big guy. I like it.
Yeah.
Shit. Well, yeah, you got into it there. I mean, the football, that was brutal. That was
oh shit.
I mean, nobody saw that coming. That was the real surprise to me. Was I don't think anybody saw that coming. That was probably the only way they were going to have a chance to beat us, was to just get out to an insane lead and hopefully protect it and, you know, just run out the clock. And that's exactly what they did. I mean, it's so unfortunate. You never see the Hawks play two bad games in a row. And that was the shocking thing. I mean, you kind of expected Minnesota would be a little wild, but man, you know, we got lucky though. We got another game out of them. I mean, it was crazy. It was tough to watch, but you got to love the fact that they fought the whole way and they kept going. And, you know, at least there was a chance at the end that they were going to tie. If they had picked up that onside kick, and then they needed to score a touchdown at that point. But, it was just insane that they even had a shot at it, and it was just fucking unfortunate. I got to my buddy's house, and it was 14-0 when I showed up. I was a little bit late, and they were about to score a third touchdown. Fucking A. But it was another exciting week of football, though, dude. I mean, these playoffs are... they're keeping the suspense alive, keeping it alive. And now you got Brady and Manning going at it
for the 17th time.
One last time.
This will probably be their final confrontation.
I think there's 100% it's going to be the final. I mean, Brady's, he's up there too, dude. I mean, you know, as handsome as that guy still is, and I got to give him credit.
Oh my gosh.
He's getting up there though. He's getting up there. He's one of those Clooney's, you know. He's going to hold on to it, that part of it, for a while at least, but he's
one of those Clooney's.
Yeah, but getting hit by 250-pound linebackers, you can't be doing that too high in the 40s. It just doesn't work, man. It's too physical of a game. But yeah, that should be good though. And fuck, I mean, what are you gonna say? You know, it's the best teams out there. I mean, Carolina, I mean, do you hope at this point that the team that beat you wins it?
That's what I hope, because we almost came back against those motherfuckers.
And at least we could say, we almost beat them. Yeah, they beat all you fuckers, and we almost beat them. We were closer than you.
You know what? You know, you remember that 55-yard field goal that Hoshka missed at the end of the game?
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the first half.
Yeah.
If we would have scored on our last drive, if we would have scored a touchdown on our last drive, we could have tied it up. If he would have hit that field goal.
No, we would have won it.
No, that would have tied it.
No, we needed a touchdown at the end to tie.
Yeah.
So yeah, any score in the first half. That's the thing. That's the way you got to look at it, is any score in the first half, and that game would have been completely different.
Yeah.
A field goal for us, and things might have completely changed. Because, yeah, we get that onside kick, and then if we get a field goal in the first half, we're driving down the field to win the game. You know, because you – I mean, when you're, we're playing like that, you know, you – when you're on the road, you want to win that shit in regulation if you can. I mean, that's the way you want to get it done. You don't want to go to overtime. You don't want to have to deal with the crowd. They'll be there all night, you know. They'll fuck. They have nowhere to go. Those people have nowhere to do but just sit there and cheer and fucking yell at you and make your life miserable. So you want to win that shit in regulation. And unfortunately, with the start we opened up, there was no chance. I mean, I was doing the math as far as how many possessions we could get, and the only way was to take it to overtime if after we got out to that horrendous of a start.
I agree.
So
you know what else? I think that with the Seahawks being – the Seahawks were favored. They were heavily favored by some people. And I think the Panthers like, wait a minute, bullshit. We beat them in the regular season, and we went 15-1. Who do they think they are? And those motherfuckers just came out with a fire lit under their ass in the first half. Mm-hmm. But I was talking to my dad. My dad called me after the first half, and he's just like, what the hell's going on up there? I'm like, it's quiet. We're at Tavern Hall in Bellevue Square, and it was quiet. Like, you couldn't hear a dime drop, you know. And I was saying, you think the Panthers are going to score 31 more points in the second half? And he said, I don't know. I'm like, Dad, who do you know has kept that fire burning when they start out strong like that in the first half? And I knew the Panthers were going to run out of gas after the first half, because when you go up 31-0 on someone in the playoffs, that's crazy. And a team like the Seahawks, who are they're known for being a second half team, the NFC Championship last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew it was over. I mean, I knew it wasn't over. I saw some people leaving Tavern Hall. I'm like, get your ass back in here. Y'all been a Seahawks fan longer than I have. Do you remember the NFC Championship last year? Get your ass back in here. This is not over.
No, and that's the thing. Like, the place I was at a buddy's house, and everybody... Nobody panicked, you know. Nobody, I mean, everybody was like, what the fuck is going on here after the first half? But nobody panicked. Nobody lost their shit. And we knew that we still were in this. And the second half started and we put together a drive immediately. I mean, everybody was right back into it, you know. It was still 31-7. And we're all like, okay, all right, here we go. You know, quick score, second half. We're keeping it moving here. But... I mean, again, it's just crazy that we even had a shot at the end. And if we can get anything going in the first half, it's just a completely different game. So, I mean, it was a good season all in all. You know, you look back and you say, shit, did anybody even imagine we'd be in this position after week 6 or 7? You know, we're 2-4. And so they fought. And I hate to say it, I'm not bitter. I'm not upset. Again, it was just a good game, and the Patriots got lucky. They didn't get lucky. They got the last. They got a good play right when they needed it. But you change that Super Bowl and the Seahawks win that. And in my opinion, this is a completely different season. I mean, how many of those games that came down to it? We had a lead at some point in the fourth, and things just didn't quite go our way. How many of those games would we have won if we had won that Super Bowl and we're still carrying that momentum as just a dominant team who pretty much couldn't be beaten in a 2-year span? I mean, it's just the game is so crazy like that, like how narrow the margins are sometimes, and it can completely change everything. Because you know all those guys, you know that shit took a while to get over. Getting that close, thinking that we had it, driving down for the winning score, and then just completely having it ripped away from you, you know? And if they don't get back, which I think, you know, who knows? I mean, we'll see what happens next year. I think they'll still be in good contention, but if they don't get back, that's what they'll be remembered for, you know, as sad as that is, as dominant as of a team as they've been. I mean, a defense that I think you pretty much have to say is one of, if not the best of all time. And, you know, it was unfortunate in this game last week that pick six. I mean, how many times does Russ throw a fucking pick six?
I rarely see him throw a pick six.
I mean, maybe has two or three on his career.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, and that's huge for them. And again, like you said, they, you know, they got gassed early. They did. And they were just playing not to lose. You know, they were just playing not to lose and try to run the clock out. And luckily they did. You know, luckily they did. Again, it was incredible that we had a shot to even tie it if we would have got the onside kick. And it's amazing. The guys, they just fought and didn't give up any points. But, you know, unfortunately their good half was a little bit better than ours. But a lot of fun to watch out there, though. And, hey, you know, it was a good season, guys, all in all. Again, after a rough start, you guys had to get over that. Got to the playoffs and made a run. And I think if we beat Carolina, I think we definitely beat Arizona. I don't think any question. I mean, we just hammered them the last time we were down there. So how much confidence would we be coming into that game with?
Is Jermaine Kearse worth the money that he will ask for? Because he will not take...
What's he fucking asking for?
I don't know, but Kearse will not take the hometown discount because he has played football in this area throughout his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he has said he's not going to take the hometown discount just to stay in Seattle. He's going to ask for what he thinks he's worth for.
Well, I mean, here's the thing with football. You know, you got a team that has success. These guys are doing good for a while. You know, they keep making a run. They're in every game they play. That's what happens. All these guys, they end up wanting to get more. They want to get paid. You know, I mean, you don't know how long your career is. This might be your last big contract you sign. So you want to make it worth it. And it's tough to argue with them. You got to understand. But I mean, you've been playing here forever, man, and you got to take care of Baldwin. Baldwin killed it. He had a big season. He had a couple of unbelievable catches, one in the Minnesota game. I mean, that was unreal. And you got to take care of this guy. He had over 1,000 yards, so he's got to be taken care of. It's going to be one of those things where the fucking guys who are counting the beans, they're going to make the call, you know, and they're going to say, you know, it's we were hoping for $650,000 less per year, you know, and we just can't bridge the gap. I mean, they've had to do it before, and Lockett is coming up. He's coming up very nicely. We will still have Baldwin. I mean, I think you can probably find somebody under the radar and be a third threat in there and bring him in, and maybe we get some production out of the tight end spot. I'm not going to say exactly who it's going to be, but I think if he wants too much, you got to let him go. And they did that with Golden Tate. And, you know, he's still produced ever since he left. But, again, was he worth the money that he probably wanted? No. Did they give him a reasonable offer? Probably not. I mean, it was somewhat laughable.
Russell Wilson's ex-wife gave him a reasonable offer.
Oh, shit. That's a low blow, bro. Come on. Don't do that to Russ. After all he's done for us.
I know.
Fuck no, and you know, he didn't have an awful game. You know, getting that pick six is huge. That's you take that back, and again, we're back to a tie ball
yeah.
game, and we're kicking it away to them. We're kicking it away to them, and then our defense is trying to stop them. And I mean, I like our chances there. But yeah, you know what? Good season, but you know, you can't dwell. Good weekend, though. At least these games are exciting and coming down to it, and like every single one, you know?
Transitioning into the offseason, you know, drafts end, what, end of April, beginning of May, somewhere around there. What do you think we need to scout for heavily? O-line?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? I mean, again, this is a perfect example. I mean, who knows? If the O-line... I mean, there was no protection. You know, he was – one of the picks he threw, the pocket was just crumbling around him and somebody's falling on his leg as he's chucking the ball up. So it's like, oh, okay, yeah, that's not going to be, you know, well-guided pass. And yeah, the O-line, it's been sketchy all year. When the O-line plays good, there's no issues, really. You know, there's no issues. I mean, against the Cardinals, they played great. The Browns, you know, the Browns are the Browns, but they had a couple of games late in the season that they had a couple of games in the season, though, that they were on point. And that's when Russ is killing it. He can stand there, do whatever, and if they're blocking, and he can take off if he want. He can stand there in the pocket, have some protection, nobody's open, and okay, and he can just sneak out and pick up 5-6 yards and slide, you know? Even though that's a little sketchy sometimes with him, his technique is a little scary at times. But yeah, no, it's you got to focus on the O-line, and then yeah, maybe try to find a second, third round receiver who we can work with and try to fill in that void that is probably gonna come up there. You know,
you're talking about Curse, right?
It just, when it sets up like that, it you know, he's actually out there announcing that he's not going to take the home. He's already gesturing. He's already making the first move. He's saying, yeah, you better pay me because this is the deal. And maybe it'll work. I mean, I don't know. Ask Cam Chancellor. Ask him how it worked for him, you know?
Oh, gosh. Let's not get into that.
Another thing that potentially changes the whole season, you know? I mean, if we don't get off to an 0-2 start, I don't know. I mean, there's so many fucking variables. We could play this game all day, you know?
Oh, Cam. Bam, bam, Cam.
Come on, I only got 3 years left here, you know? Jeez.
I know. I don't understand that. Oh, man. He played.
Yeah, but he was injured like 6 games, I think, that year. So, I mean, it wasn't an all-star year. I don't know.
He is a game changer, though. He's probably one of the best safeties I've seen since Ed Reed. Troy Polamalu.
He's got a brand of his own, you know, that he's so big, but he's still really physical and fucking gets at it. But, God, I know. I wish we had one more game to watch.
I know.
Just one more game. One more game where everybody is doing their fucking job and doing it well, like against Arizona in Arizona. God damn.
What are you looking forward to next the most? Sounders soccer or Mariners baseball?
Wow, that's about as bad as you asking me who would I rather vote for at this point. Oh, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton.
Oh, man.
That's about the choice of leaving. No, you know, people, the Mariners, I mean, you got to have some love for the hometown team, but God, these guys are just so fucking bad, dude. So bad, so consistent. Management is just awful. I mean, there's just nothing to get excited about. The last time they got to the playoffs was like 2001.
And
2001.
That was the year that the Mariners, they won how many games?
116 games.
116 games. You got swept by the Yankees.
No, we didn't get swept. I think we won one game.
One game. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I think we might have won one game. I don't know, but yeah, dude, they're fucking chronic losers, dude. These guys just can't get it together. They've been to the playoffs like 4 times in the last like 20 years, and they've been in a division that until recently, until the Astros were added, was a 4-team division. It's a 4-team division, and you can't even win your fair share every year. I mean, holy shit.
Astros just came in and played Party Crasher in that division.
Yeah, I know. Those boys showed up. Well, again, they got a good farm system, man. They get good talent, and they get good up-and-coming players, and anybody can compete if you're mastering it on that, you know, lowest of levels. But, I mean, there's nothing about the M's this year that, oh, this is the year. Oh, this is the year. It's always the fucking year. For the people who like and appreciate him, it's always the year. This is always the one.
So you're being.
No Mariners fan ever comes into the season modest, all right, with a modest opinion of the team. You know, it's all or nothing.
This is our year.
It is, man, and you'd think it would be, but, you know, you got an aging Felix now.
No, man, he said he had a pretty decent season.
It was decent, but again, man, how many years can you keep chucking that fucking little ball 10,000 times, you know? I mean, how many times can you do that?
Yeah.
That's that shit. I just get sore thinking about that, man. Are you kidding me? God damn. I go throw a football for like 20, I go like 12 minutes and I'm like, oh, all right, I'm going to have to go stretch this shit out. I'm out of here, you guys. You're on your own here. Give me a fucking frisbee or I'm out of here. God, I'm such a hippie.
Oh, man. So I'm excited for Sounders soccer. I'm a big I've become a big soccer fan since moving to Seattle. When I lived in Texas, I can give two shits about soccer, but
you get your ass kicked for watching a soccer match down there.
Yeah, pretty much. But no, up here the culture is the support for the Sounders are strong. We went to a game last year, me and my girlfriend, when they were playing Houston, and it was crazy. Like, they're doing all of this for soccer. There was a band, and there were picketers out there, religious picketers. I'm like, who the fuck are these guys? It was weird. That was my first time ever seeing religious picketers, because coming from Texas, which is a Bible Belt state, to Seattle, which is, you know, you can believe in whatever the fuck you want. You know, that was pretty weird to me to see that.
are they out at football games, do you think? Or
I don't know. I haven't been to a Seahawks game, but you know, like I was mentioning, they're at a Sounders game, and you know, they're like, oh, you're all going to hell, and just
oh, are you serious? They're fucking shaking their crazy around everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, wow. There's only like two of them though. It wasn't like a big crowd.
Oh man, we should go down there and make a
video. I was thinking about buying some eggs and, you know, get
No, we'll go down there with a camera, dude, and we'll fucking just roast those motherfuckers, dude. And we'll get it on tape. Oh man, that shit would get some good hits. I didn't know. I thought they were just trying to recruit new members, you know?
No. They got the little signs and everything.
What's I mean, geez, of all the sports, you know, soccer? I mean, they're the ones that are going to hell. I mean, I know those hooligans over in Europe get a little rowdy sometimes, but
shit.
Actually, down in South America too. That's where I hear of the. You got times where the ref is getting killed because of a bad call during a game. I mean,
fuck. Yeah, man.
When your fans are resort to murder for you, yeah, you guys.
Well, they're drunk as fuck.
Maybe taking that shit a little too seriously.
They are drunk as fuck when they go into the game. It a lot of that shit they do.
Drunker than people around here get though. I mean, come on. There's some fucking booze hounds everywhere you go, dude.
Okay, that's a true story.
They're just probably rowdier people in general. And
that's a true story. But, no, I'm excited for Sounders soccer. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a Mariners baseball fan. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to hop on the Mariners bandwagon. Well, what bandwagon?
There's plenty of room, actually.
I bet there's a lot of first class seats on that bandwagon too.
Yeah, but just wait till 5 weeks into the season, and yeah, there'll be plenty of room after opening night. No, that's when most of it.
No,
fades.
I am an Atlanta Braves fan, and I actually have a geographical connection, mainly because I was born in Atlanta, Georgia, and I lived in Atlanta during the '90s, where they were America's team, mm-hmm. Glavin, Maddox, Smoltz, Chipper Jones, Andrew Jones, David Justice. I can go all day.
Chipper Jones,
yeah. But, no, that's my team, but I would like to see.
Yeah, but you can still root for the Mariners. Well, I mean, I'm not advising you to. Don't, you know. They're in the NL.
Yeah. I have nothing against the Mariners. One of my favorite players of all time, Ken Griffey Jr., who got snubbed out of a unanimous vote. To go into the Hall of Fame.
Does anybody deserve it unanimously, though?
You know who I think?
Not one guy that can say him moving to Cincinnati was a bad decision and that's why you're not a Hall of Famer? You made a bad
career
choice?
There's only two more people that will be eligible here in a few years.
A-Rod?
Who I think... you say A-Rod?
He's going to get in, right? You know.
Anyway. I mean,
they'll put an asterisk or something, but...
Yeah, anyway. And do you think a lot of it had to do with Ken Griffey Jr. not getting a World Series ring? Or some of it, not all of it, but
Yeah, definitely not all of it. Definitely not all of it. I mean, he has great numbers as an individual, but who knows if he if they do get that ring in 95. Yeah, maybe he gets that.
You would have ran into a roadblock if you would have got to the World Series in 95.
Yeah, well.
Even though that would have been a fun matchup to watch, the Braves rotation versus the Mariners lineup.
Yeah, that's true. We had some fucking sluggers.
Yeah, and we had some heat behind.
Yeah. We had the big unit though, man. You're never out of it when you got the big unit. I mean, listen to that name.
That guy would have gave
he's
us
just,
problems.
His name is just a label. He's not even a person. He's just a unit.
And he did pitch a perfect
he's
game.
He's one of one.
No, he pitched a no-hitter at Turner Field one time, I remember. But he wasn't with the Mariners. I think he...
The Diamondbacks?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
But back to what I was talking about.
What the fuck were you talking about?
I was talking about the two people that I think that can probably get a unanimous vote. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm thinking of? Derek Jeter and Chipper Jones. They both got rings.
Yeah.
Chipper got one in 95 and Derek Jeter 96, 98, 99, 2000, and 2009.
Yeah, I think if either of those, I think you got to go with Jeter.
Yeah.
He's,
most likely Jeter.
Yeah, in a very decorated baseball city, he's definitely still a standout there. So, I mean, I think that alone gives you the automatic. I think the only thing holding them back is probably his receding hairline, you know. But
oh my gosh.
I mean, I'm sure they won't dock him too much for that. So, still a handsome man.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a good point. Chipper, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I don't think he's got unanimous. I don't think. I mean, he was a good player. He definitely put up some good numbers, and yeah, he was on some good teams, which is all important, but. Although I loved hearing it.
Both of them stayed with one team throughout their whole
Yeah, and that
career.
Always helps.
Yes.
That definitely always helps.
Yes.
That announcer, I don't know what his name was. He's always Braves and Padres. Chipper Jones up at bat. Two outs.
On TBS?
It's a home run.
Are you talking about on TBS?
Yeah.
Man. No, man. TBS was one of my favorite networks growing up because in Georgia, TBS was a regular channel, and I heard, like, everywhere else, it was a cable network.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, because you were the local?
Yeah, because they're based out of Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yeah. And nice. When I moved to Texas, it was on one of the cable channels. I'm like, what the fuck is this? It's supposed to be a regular channel, right? And my mom had to explain. I'm like, oh. Because I was only 9. I didn't understand. But
yeah,
but enough with baseball. Let's talk about something else that's big, and we're talking about Big Effin' Bertha.
Oh my lord!
I know who that good old Slim over here has got the dirt.
Oh my god!
You got the dirt.
I've been moving more dirt than Bertha has here in recent weeks.
Oh, I bet
just
you
uncovering
have.
This story.
Oh yeah,
this is a fucking nightmare, people. All right. For those of you who aren't located in the greater Seattle area, bear with me here for a minute. I mean, you know, you could look into this story, and if you want to be irked and give yourself a reason to not want to trust the government, especially when it comes to raising taxes. But this is what happens when you put your faith in something named Big Bertha. How could it go right? How could this go right? Right off the bat, just with the name, you're already fucking it up. You're already fucking it up. This project was supposed to be done originally in the original plans, was supposed to be done in 2015. It was supposed to be completed. It's now 2016, and the tunnel has been, they've dug about 1/8 of the tunnel. 1/8 of it, and they're already over what the completion date was supposed to be. I mean, where does that even put us for completion? It's completely up in the air. We've gone 1,200 feet in, I think, almost 2 years now. I mean, at this pace, we should probably have this completed. I'm going to say by probably 2040. probably about 2040, maybe 2038 if things go well.
You really think it's going to take another 24 years?
It's a fucking nightmare, dude. This whole thing is a nightmare, and it's going to bankrupt the city because they're on the hook for a lot of this overspend. And it's just, there's no way this is going to end well. There's absolutely no way. There's a chance now with the lack of progress they've been making, you know, that they're not moving right now. There's a chance that this won't ever be completed. There's an outside chance that it'll never be, probably like a 7 or 8% chance that nothing will ever be completed on the, I mean, it's just, it just shows you that these people that make these decisions, they don't have the greater public's good in mind. They just want to have these projects that are, oh, look at this. It's the biggest tunnel ever. Oh, it's the grandest of all. Oh, look at how many cars we can move around. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That's not what we need. You could tear the whole fucking thing down, expand the road that they have there, maybe make it two lanes, knock out all those parking lots that are under the viaduct right now, and just make it an extra two lanes. And it's not going to move that much faster, but you know what? Maybe more people will be riding bikes on the waterfront. You can see it better. All the businesses and the buildings will have better views, and it'll save us a fucking shit ton of money. And we could have had, and if that was the original choice that we had made, we probably could have, we could have had it done by now. It would have been finished. The whole job would have been done. We would have spent probably less than we've already spent at this point. It's just, there's nothing here that you can look at and say, oh yeah, well, you know, that's when they did that one thing, they made a real good choice. No, they fucked it all up. The whole fucking thing. I just can't believe, and they're going to toll it too. They're going to toll it. So, which means we're going to be paying for this fucking tunnel for probably the next 100 years. I mean, it's a goddamn nightmare, man. I mean, we're going to have to organize people. We're going to have to get them together. We're going to have to fucking embarrass these politicians, you know. I don't even know how to go about it. I mean, you know, besides coming at them on Twitter, maybe. I mean, I'm new to this. I'm new to this revolutionary stuff, but something has to be done, man. These people are just incompetent, and they're spending billions of dollars that affect all of us. I mean, think of how nice it could be if you just knock the whole thing down, and you got a nice waterfront. You know, you got a bike lane. You got two lane road. It's going to slow things down a little bit, and you're going to get some overflow in other parts of town, but it doesn't matter though. That is what would benefit the everyday people that live in that city. And that's who you got to be considering, because if you're not considering the people that live in that city, then who the fuck are you thinking about here? Who are you worried about? So I don't know. What do you think, man? Will they ever complete it? You think?
I have no idea at this point.
Pleading the fifth?
I'm pleading the fucking fifth.
Well, you know, don't say anything positive, because then you're really set yourself up.
Well, listen here, man. I really think Big Bertha could contribute to this. No, fuck that. But
to fix this thing,
could contribute to the city. No, what? How will it fix it?
To fix this thing, it has one gear. It only goes in one direction. This thing is fucking chomp dirt and whatever else is in the path. And if not, go fuck yourself, all right? That's all this thing does. So when it gets stuck, they can't fix it from behind. So they have to dig a hole in front of where it's at and then get down in there and see what's going on in front of the blade, in front of all that stuff. And then that's how they have to fix it. So let me ask you this. What happens when they're under Pioneer Square and they're underneath a building and Bertha breaks down then?
That'd be bad.
Do you demolish the whole building to get to Bertha? I mean, how are you supposed to fix that? And you don't think there's pipes and shit that's all down there that they probably don't know about that from 60 or 70 years ago? I mean, it's just, the whole thing is a nightmare, dude. And there's, I don't know who's at in charge of this. I mean, you know, Gregoire was in when it got voted in, and she's washing her hands of it now. She sees what a catastrophe it's turned into. You know, Inslee still wants to go with it. I mean, it's just who knows what the fuck's going on. And you know, we talked last week about Bernie Sanders, and I, you know, got into it with you about, you know, more taxes and bigger government. And, you know, it sounds good in principle. It's kind of like communism. It sounds good.
He is not about communism.
I'm not saying both of the things, you know, more taxes, they both kind of, you know, they go kind of along those same lines. And it's good in theory, but when you try to actually practice it and you put real people who can fuck it up in the driver's seat and you put them in charge of the shit, it all goes wrong eventually, you know? And the bigger it gets, it seems like the more clusterfucked it gets, even when it comes to business. I mean, look at AIG. Look at how big that company was before the financial crisis of 2008. And look how fucked they were when shit hit the fan in 2009. They had to borrow $160 billion from the government. $160 billion. Hey, you guys got that. I mean, you guys got some big safes and stuff where you got that covered, right? I mean, 160. Come on. You guys are the government. You know, just help us out here. You know, we'll get it back to you eventually. 160. So I don't know. And again, you know, I think Bernie is probably our best choice at this point. I think you got, you know, the chauvinistic, arrogant asshole Trump, you got the robot Clinton, and you got the crazy old white guy. But unfortunately this time he's a Democrat and not a Republican, so I guess that's kind of nice.
How is Bernie Sanders crazy?
he wants to do some crazy stuff, you know. I'm not saying it's bad stuff. I'm not saying it's bad, but it's revolutionary and it's fucking crazy. I mean, you're going to fund all, you know, what is it, community college? Is that what they want to do? Make it all free or whatever?
No, Washington wants to do that.
I thought that was part of his plan too, though,
yeah,
if he gets in office.
But no, the Washington wants to make community college free as long as you don't have a bachelor's degree. So I'm fucked because I already have my bachelor's degree, mm-hmm. but you can go back and get your associates at least.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I thought that I thought it was more of a national thing. Maybe they kind of ran on.
He wants to make universities free.
Oh, university. Ooh, okay, that's gonna be tough, man. They're making way too much money right now.
He was asked on the Nightly Show on Comedy Central, "What is your first action in your first 100 days of office if you become president of the United States?" And he said to make sure that the top 1% are taxed correctly, mm-hmm. tax what they need to be taxed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, the taxes is important. You got to make sure everybody's paying their fair share. But, again, you gotta rein in the spending. You have to rein in the spending. And I don't know if anybody's capable of doing it. I think the government is just, it's such a big machine that nobody can slow it down. You know, it just, the only way it's going to stop is if it just collapses on itself, you know, it collapses inward, and hopefully that's not in our lifetime, but you never know. You never know. But yeah, this year is going to be nuts, dude. This year is going to be fucking crazy. You got this election, and this is like a bigger election than normal. I don't know. It just feels like something's different here.
Bigger than 2008 when a black man ran for president? I don't know. It was different. I was living in Texas then. It was so much different. And you know, I tell the story all the time that how, you know, Barack Obama is the fucking Antichrist in Texas. But it was different, and you know, I don't know how it was here in Seattle. How was it in Seattle, like when Mr. Barack Obama ran for president? Like was it a big celebration? So one of my managers at work told me that he cried for joy.
Was that a guy here or
a guy here?
Oh, okay. I wouldn't say it was. I feel like it was pretty telegraphed, dude. I feel like he was the clear choice. I mean, just you look at his background, you look at what he was for, you look at the things that he had proposed and what he was standing for. It just felt like it was pretty telegraphed. I mean, I think people were happy about it. I think they felt positive, but it wasn't like, you know, the second coming of Jesus Christ himself, you know. You know, I mean, he, you know, he's an eloquent guy and he campaigned well, and you know, the whole change thing is great because everybody, there's shit that we want changed, but a lot of it, it seems like, is not changeable. I hate to say it, but
well, that's because of fucking Congress.
Like, well, and you got, you know, well, look at Guantanamo Bay too. You know, I mean, that was first order of business, and that still hasn't been taken care of yet. So.
Yeah.
And you got fucking guys in there that been in there for a decade and haven't even been charged with an official crime yet. You know, they're just hanging out with the wrong asshole jihadis. God damn, but. Oh, yeah, no, it's this year's will be exciting to get the stock market too, man.
2016.
Stock market's already down like 10% this year.
What?
So for my retirement fund, I lost a whole $4.50. It was a rough week, guys. It was a rough week, but we're hanging in there. Yeah, he's got to make you wonder, though, man. He's got to make you wonder, and because the crazy thing about the economy, dude, is how much of it just comes down to people's sentiment. Like, how do you feel? Do you feel rich? Do you feel poor? Do you feel like things are good? Do you feel like things are bad? Like. That is actually a very big factor. Like, because the second that people get negative and they think, oh, fuck, there's just a momentum to it that is just out of control, and it always goes down quicker than it comes back up. You know, it's always like, holy shit, we just lost, you know, so-and-so lost their job. This is going on. He can't pay his mortgage. You know, his place is getting foreclosed. I mean, that momentum just comes quick sometimes. It's crazy. And... I don't know. We'll see. I mean, you know, the stock market itself needs a fucking sell-off. All right. It's been going gangbusters for the last couple of years, and the economy probably is slowing. I mean, you got a bunch of shit going on, but oil's getting cheap, which is actually good for me and you, especially you, because your fucking ass is driving over here all the time, you know, and going to work.
Ladies and gentlemen, so. I drive from Bellevue, Victoria, the fucking shoreline, to hang out with this guy and do podcasts with this guy weekly. And sometimes I drive up here more than that to hang out with him because mm-hmm. he's too fucking lazy to go anywhere else to drink. No, I'm kidding. Actually,
they don't like me on the east side, man. They don't like me over there. Right? They see my car pull up. They can see the paint's fading. They're like, get this fucking guy out of here.
I know. In Bellevue, you can't be driving.
Yeah.
You can't be driving pieces like that.
No, dude. They're like, go back to Whoreline, asshole. All right.
Whoreline. Is that what they call a Whoreline?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Why? Like, what?
Right down 99 here, man. Are you kidding me? You should have seen how many girls there were walking around.
Ew.
During Christmas time and shit, dude. Oh my God. They brought in all the reserves, dude.
What did I tell you during the holidays, man? This is when women who are lonely, they...
Everybody, dude. Are you kidding me? I mean, yeah, there was some fucking street crawlers all over the joint, man. It's crazy. And they're like wearing like a short skirt and it's like 38 degrees out. It's like, what the fuck are you doing here? How fucked up were your parents? How bad were your parents? I mean, this is just insane. But yeah, good old Whoreline, man. That's home. You know, the thing for you is the fucking drive home, man. That's where they get you. That's where they get you. Yeah. going into Seattle. It's so fucked. But you know, the Department of Transportation, though, they got everything under control at this point. So
oh yeah, I have faith in them 100%.
They'll get on that traffic right once they finish the tunnel. Right after that, so probably, you know, maybe a couple months, 3-4 months, they should probably be jumping on it.
Seattle, Washington, the town with never-ending construction on the roads.
Oh, my God. There's a lot of cranes down there, too, right now, man. It's crazy. All those guys are – I like how they're keeping their Christmas lights up, too.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to pay some guy fucking $400 to go out there, take all these lights down. We'll just keep them up all year long. It'll be festive. So we'll see how long that lasts for.
On to the proposed strip club tax.
All right, get down to the brass tacks here. I like it.
That the money will go towards rape kits, which I like because that is unfortunately still a big issue in our society, rape. And I'm being serious here. You know, and these women and men, yes, men do get raped too. You know, the men and women that get raped, they need to be treated correctly, and you know, they need it, they need the money for rape kits. What do you think about that? Do you think that the tax money should come from strip clubs?
It just seems like such a stretch you're making to kind of connect those two things hand in hand. Such a stretch. I mean, if those girls are getting paid, then it's not a rape. I mean, I'm sure maybe it gets a little rough sometimes, but it's just, it's like, what do you want to do with the strip clubs? Okay. What do you want to do? Do you want these guys in business, or do you want them to slowly nickel and dime them and just ruin their industry? You know, where are you drawing the line here? Why don't you just tell them to go fuck themselves? Say you can't do this. We don't allow tits. They can't serve alcohol in the place. They can't serve it all. So you pay $20 to come in because the place has to make something. You're not going to buy anything if they can't serve booze. What the fuck are you going to buy from them? And so you got to pay $20 to get in. Now they want to add another $4 kit. It's like $4 for the rape kits. It's like, where was this money supposed to come from before? Why can't we just have this taken care of? Because that's what police departments do. I mean, yeah, it might be expensive, but 6,000 backlog. Think of how long. Some of those are probably from 15, 20 years ago and still haven't been tested. I mean, Jesus Christ, how long have you guys been fucking up your job for? How long have you sucked at this? Give me a fucking break, you know? Why does it need to, I mean, I'm not advocating for the strip club. You know, there's some shady shit going on there. Again, there's probably some fucking hand jobs and all kinds of jobs going on there, okay? All kinds of illegal jobs, you know? Fun, but illegal jobs. But, I mean, if you're going to let this industry be around, then actually give them a chance to fucking succeed. And if you don't want them around, then just say, hey, guys, sorry, what, we don't like you, so pack your shit and go fuck yourself. I mean, you're going to just nickel and dime them until they're eventually going to be out of business? That's what's going to happen. So, I don't know. It just seems silly. I mean, they just got to stay on top of their shit. That's the most important thing, is stay on top of your shit. And, I mean, yeah, I agree with you. It's a problem, but I don't think it's a problem like it once was. I think people grossly overestimate the threat of violence and crime these days. It's like we're at historical lows, even with all the guns and the shooting that you see on TV all the time, because you know they're pushing that narrative. It's like crime is at some of the lowest rates it's been in like 25 years. And with weed being legal now in this state, I can almost guarantee you that crime rates will continue to fall. You know? I mean, even just gangbangers who are fucking trying to fuck each other up and, you know, control the street market. Even that shit is going to start going away.
The black market's falling, isn't it, in marijuana?
The black markets matter, though. We got to keep that in mind. But yeah, it has. It definitely has. It's they said it was 20. They say it was 28%. We were looking at that study. Either 28 or 38%. Still, they have a share of the market, which I think it's probably about right. You know, the growers seem to think it's the legal growers seem to think it's a lot higher than that. But I don't really think it is anymore. I know most people just going down. I mean, it's so convenient. You just go right down to the corner. They got a good amount of shops around now. You go right down to the corner, spend $20. You get a fucking dime. And if you're not a bowl fucking roasting fiend, you know, you can get that shit to last at least for couple days or whatnot. So and again, I think it'll help reduce the crime rate around here. I think it will. After you see, it's going to take a couple years of data to actually check this theory and make sure that it's holding true, but I think it will, man. I mean, DUIs will probably go down. I think it's just nothing but good at this point. You know, there's going to be some growing pains and there's going to be some things that need to be managed, and you got to, you know, try to keep it out of the reach of young kids. But it's looking pretty solid at this point. We'll see. But
I agree.
But no, they got to take care of that fucking, they got to take care of those kids, dude. Just get on it. Do your fucking job, you guys. Okay. Just do your job. Your priorities as a government are for private safety. Okay, that's your job. That's what you're doing as a police station. And so just do your fucking job. That's all. Just let's leave it at that. Do your job. Fucking job. You got good benefits. Just do your goddamn job.
Do your goddamn job. Jesus I agree. Christ. Do your goddamn job.
Fucking A, dude. Speaking of politicians and shit, I just saw this. I just wanted to mention this. I thought it was funny. California politicians, they're getting a ballot initiative going. A private club's getting a ballot initiative where the politicians have to don the logos of all of their 10 biggest donors.
Whoa.
So basically all the state politicians have to basically have their like own version of a NASCAR jacket full of sponsors on it. Every time they go to,
I've seen a meme on that.
Anytime they go to votes or whatever. So I don't know. I mean,
that should be interesting.
It's one of those things, dude. It's just, it's all for fucking show. Okay. It's all for show. It doesn't really move the needle. All it is just slightly humiliates these people, you know, which I guess is good because that's the direction we need to be going in. You know, we need to be kind of going in that direction, especially when they're taking it from all these big ass fucking companies. I mean, some of them are labor unions and shit, but I mean, it's not going to concretely change anything, but it's fucking, it's fun to talk about, and that would be fun. God damn. That'd be funny to see him doing an interview. They got all these people's logos on there, fucking wiener schnitzel or whatever. Actually, it'll probably all be cigarettes and that kind of shit, but
we are sponsored by Marlboro.
Yeah.
By the Marlboro man.
Oh, dude. Marlboro, Chevron, 76, ExxonMobil.
76? You think they'll be sponsored by 76?
Hell yeah, man.
What?
All those fucking guys. Well, actually, those guys are hurting now, though, man. With fucking cheap oil out there, those guys are hurting.
Yeah.
They're feeling the pinch. I got a lot of Putin.
I got a lot of friends in Texas who are not, they're not happy.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, low gas prices mean no oil field jobs.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm sure some people might be getting laid off.
Oh, thousands.
Thousands, really?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. And then they come up with the excuse, and then they come up with, oh, well, when you see that, don't forget, low gas prices aren't always good. I'm like, motherfucker, you work in the oil field business. And no,
don't forget about us.
Yeah, don't forget. No. Listen, prepare like everyone else. For example, my job cut my hours after the holidays. I now have to deal with it and work with it and adjust. Got to find a second job.
Mm-hmm. Keep on keeping on.
All right. So, I mean, you know what pisses me off?
Hmm.
What pisses me off about a lot of, okay, Texas, a big Republican state. And when Obama came into office, since Obama's been in office, they've been bitching about how, oh, gas prices were lower when Bush was in office. Now gas prices are lower than when Bush was in office, but now they're bitching about how they're out of a job.
Yeah. Well, it's like, okay, you're gonna say, oh, the gas is more expensive. That's one fucking metric. That's one metric out of the economy. Like, you can't break it down to just that one thing. It's ridiculous. And yeah, when you lose jobs like that, obviously there's pain in those communities and those areas specifically. No question. But every single person that drives a car is getting a tax break right now. Every single person who drives a car. I mean, how many more people is that than, like you said, even the 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 that got laid off? I mean, sorry, guys. It sucks that it worked that way for you, but look at us as a whole. We're saving like $800 billion on gas this year, probably, you know, money that people are going to be spending. I mean, you got to look at the big picture here. Okay?
Yeah. And I'm not trying to be a dick, you know, like I really hope everyone that's in the oil field business gets back on their feet. If you're listening, you know, if you're listening and you're in Texas or North Dakota, South Dakota, wherever the big drilling areas are at, you know, I'm not trying to be a dick, but coming from experience, someone who used to live in Texas, you know, a lot of the, and I'm not saying everyone in a hole, but a lot of the oil field guys, When the oil boom, you know, was big, you know, 2-3 years ago, I saw a lot of them going out in the bars and having, you know, $70, $80, $90 tabs.
just not getting fucking wild.
Buying new 2014 Ford F-150s, F-250s,
Silverados.
Yeah.
Fucking Chevy Silverado.
Yeah. And I, you know, hey, I'm not knocking him because I told you I'm originally a truck guy. Mm-hmm. The only reason I didn't get a truck here is because gas prices are higher in Washington overall than they are in Texas.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
hey, trucks are fucking dope, man.
Trucks
are fucking dope. They're sick as fuck. But, you know, I don't got $50,000 to spend on a fucking car, though, unfortunately. Yeah. So, but, yeah, they're fucking nice. And I mean, it's a good time to have one, you know? It's a good time to have a truck that, I mean, gas is, it's going to go below $2 a gallon. I'm 100%, mark my words. Who knows how low it's going to go? It might go down to like $1.80. I mean, at that point. And even a big truck, like a big-ass Silverado, 2500 or whatever, you're going to spend like $45 filling that thing up, you know? And it's going to last you like a week at least. I mean, that's not terrible for the capacity that truck has. I mean, it's a fucking monster, dude. You can haul shit around. You can haul people around. You've got the extended cab. You can fit like 5 people in it comfortably. I mean, trucks are the shit, man. And again, hey, if you're somebody who's wanted one, I mean, the next year or two is definitely going to be a good time, if any, to be driving one. So we'll see how long oil stays low. But again, you know, you got to look at the big picture, and us as Americans as a whole are saving a shit ton of fucking money right now.
Okay? Yes.
A shit ton. Every single person. And you know what? Even if you work for an oil company, yeah, this is rough on your company. But you know what? When you drive your car on the weekends, at least that's going to be a little cheaper for you. You know?
Yeah, if they have any money that they saved, if they weren't going out to the bar every night, you know, with $70, $80, $90 tabs, buying shots for all their friends. Look, I'm not saying that was everyone, but when I was living in little San Angelo, Texas, where the big oil boom was, you know, 2-3 years ago, I saw a lot of them doing that. And I guarantee you, those are the same ones that are telling everyone, hey, low gas prices they're not good. Well, you should have saved your money. You're in the oil field business. It goes up and down, up and down, up and down.
Maybe the 48-inch tires for your truck weren't a good idea, all right? Yeah, it's cyclical, you know. It's always going up, it's coming back down, and who knows, in 2 or 3 years they're going to cut production, you know. They'll again, like you're saying, they'll lay some more people off, and the oversupply will kind of go through the market, but it might take a while for it to roll over. But and I was talking about the executives of the company, but you know, I wanted to revise that, because any executive to an oil company, he's putting all his gas on the company card. He's not paying for a fucking dime of it. So, you know, he's not saving any money. I lied to you guys. I'm sorry. But good tax break for everybody else though, man. I'm getting by on like $100 in gas every month now. I'm doing like, you know, I'm filling up once a week for like $20, $25. And it's like, dude, I'm driving down to Seattle to do mics. I'm going over to the east side once a week. I'm going up to Bothell, Everett. I mean, I'm putting some fucking miles in, man, and I'm still only spending like $100 on gas. And you can't argue with that, you know?
No.
So.
No.
Works out for everybody, except for those fucking rowdy fucks out. But that's those guys, though. You know, that's those guys. They're roughneck guys. You know, they're kind of a little bit crazy, because you got to be a little bit crazy, man. That shit's dangerous, man. My buddy.
No, hire anyone off the street. And the thing with oilfield, the thing is, oil field jobs, it happened in San Angelo. A lot of people from everywhere around the country moved to San Angelo for oil field jobs, and down in Texas, sorry, in San Angelo, Texas. But what happened? Crime went up. Because they'll hire any oil field. The oil field will hire anyone to go out there and do rough net work.
Yeah.
They'll hire anyone. It's scary.
It's fuck yeah, it's probably scary, dude. Are you kidding me? And there's probably some, like you're saying, there's some of those guys you're working with are probably some fucking borderline crazy ass motherfuckers, dude. You know, and you're doing some dangerous shit, and your life could be on the line. Yeah, I had a buddy who got into it, and fuck man, he's you know, I don't know. He tried to get me in, and I just couldn't do it, dude. I mean, the money is good. They definitely hook it up, but
I was a hop and a skip away from that, and I still said no.
Yeah,
I said I actually want a career in something.
Yeah, you're kind of just like being thrown out to the wolves there, essentially. You know?
Yeah,
it's like you're almost like a commodity for them. You know.
Yeah,
it's like they just kind of go through a certain amount, and you're just fucking thrown into the meat grinder.
Yeah,
and hopefully come out as a nice little sausage.
And when that money starts rolling in for them, a lot of them, I'm not saying all, a lot of them, they grow a big fucking ego. Mm-hmm. because they live in those small towns, and it's not like Seattle,
yeah,
where everyone knows everyone. They live in those small towns, and they go to these bars, and they just start balling.
Yeah,
so they act like they're a fucking baller. Like I said, those are the same ones that are saying, not. Nah, you know, low gas prices are not good. Well, you should have, like I said, you should have saved your money and the 48 inch rims on your new Silverado. You could have held off on that.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's like the coal industry, man. It's like, look at the coal industry. It's been decimated over the last.
That's huge up here, isn't it?
No,
it's not the coal industry.
No. Mostly over, I think, in like Appalachia, like in West Virginia, and stuff mainly.
What labor line of work is huge in Washington? Is it logging?
It used to be logging. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of logging out here still, but I don't think it's as big as or as much of a centerpiece as it once was to our economy. But yeah, that's how it was, man. Back in the day, originally, that's what they were doing up here. But I just forgot what I was fucking talking about there. Oh, the coal industry. Yeah, but you look at that though, and and it's, you know, they've been decimated. I mean, the coal industry probably had close to 1 million workers in that industry probably 10 years ago. And I think now it's down to somewhere like 75 or 80,000, you know, so they've cut jobs huge. And hey, it's unfortunate. Some of those Appalachian communities where that's all they got is just the coal mine. That's the whole town. That's it. I mean, think about it. You could shut the whole fucking town down by just closing a mine, dude. That maybe that's all the jobs. Who knows? Everybody might disappear. But that's the way it goes, though, man. You know, we have to prioritize. We have to say what's the most important here. And it seems like we're all kind of getting on the same page that this whole global warming thing is something that definitely needs to be addressed immediately. And unfortunately, you gotta crack a few eggs. You know, if you want to fix your omelet, I guess. And one of those eggs here is the coal industry. And yeah, it hurts for them and they're losing jobs. But all in all, are we going to be better off as a society? I think probably so.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is what it is. Everybody's got to pay their price here and there. And, you know, we all come together and hopefully we can make progress as a whole.
What do you got going on this weekend? Anything special?
I'm looking to possibly break my consecutive streak of most times stood up on a date.
You got another date?
I'm going to call it a meetup. Okay.
A meetup.
We'll call it a meetup, you know. We'll keep it cash here, all right? But yeah, I got a little something on the books hopefully for tomorrow, but yeah, it should be a good weekend. We'll see. What about you, man?
I think after work, cuz I work a morning shift. I work from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. tomorrow, and I'm going to try to get off early so I can beat that I-90 and I-5 traffic
that
back
bullshit.
To
bullshit.
Yes, that bullshit. And I think I'm going to take the lady out to dinner and a movie.
Ooh, taking out the lady.
I need it. I've been in a foul mood lately due to the fact that my job cut my hours, even though they hired me full time, and I have to go out and get a second one. And right now, the second one is a overnight position that me and overnight jobs do not mix.
Shit's brutal, dude.
It is, and it's not the labor. It's the staying awake, staying focused part. You know, it's just so hard on me, and the fact that, you know, I'm gonna have to be doing both jobs, the job that cut my hours, and the job that I'm gonna start working overnights in. I'm still waiting to hear back on on some other jobs that I applied for, but I'm going to have to do that for now. It's going to be a actually, I don't know how much of a pay cut it's going to be. Hopefully not a huge one, but we'll see. What are you laughing at over here?
This guy's going deep. You guys know more about him than I do at this point, I think.
I told you about this.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right, you did. But hey, man, you know, what can I say then? It's hard out there for a pimp, dude, you know?
Shut the fuck up. I'm not a pimp. Anyway. Just
keep hustling. This guy, this crazy guy who I played cards with at the casino, I'll leave you with this little nugget of knowledge here. He had a saying, and it was... He's corny and he's kind of a nut job. He's saying some other really weird shit, but this one was okay. He said, "Your attitude controls your altitude." That was the saying he gave me. So
your attitude controls your altitude.
So keep your head up, big guy. Stay focused, and you can do it.
Did he really say it like that?
I added all that.
Okay.
Stuff. Yeah, but you know, okay. I was trying to get you pumped up and excited there. You know.
Well, you failed.
End on a high note.
You failed.
I did once again. But hey, well, you guys, we're gonna wrap this shit up. Yeah, we got deep here this week. Fuck, I hope you guys enjoyed it. I don't know, we got into some local shit. So for all you who aren't up here in the PNW, my apologies if that was not very exciting to listen to. But we got some shit going on.
Our show appeals to the PNW. That's why it's called An Earful in the Emerald City.
Yes, but we want everybody to enjoy
I know, and that's why we. We mix the national news in there too, but you know, yeah. But anyway, like I said, hey, we're sorry about the technical difficulties that we ran into. We got that fixed earlier this morning, but
yeah, we had our IT staff look at it, and they worked overnight.
Yeah,
and luckily they were able to solve the issues. So hopefully that should not happen again.
Yeah, well, we'll be back. We'll be back with our next show. Early next week, as usual. Mm-hmm. But until then, I am Shoddy.
I'm Slim, and thank you for joining us, guys. We will talk to you later.
We are out.
Thanks for joining Shoddy and Slim on An Earful in the Emerald City. Hope you survived this torture. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Join us next time and tell your friends about the show.